Amen. receive Christian in the name of Jesus, according to Acts 2:38, on the 14th day of April in the year of our Lord 2018. Can we just say hallelujah?
If God has blessed you,
something about it.
Do something about it.
Talk to each other and say, do something about it.
Do something about it.
It's not good enough to just talk about it. I know the lie. I know y'all standing, but y'all know to make sure y'all blood is warm, sort of warm in the air. The late Dr. Lulu Jackson used to have a song. She said, help me to live the life I sing about. Help me to live the life I talk about. Help me to live the life I testify about. In other words, don't go through the motions. But whatever you do, ask God to help you to live that life. Can we say hallelujah? Philippians, the fourth chapter, starting with verse 4. Do we have it? Can we say amen? For those that don't have it, it is on the screen. And we know that Paul is writing this letter from prison. Amen. He's locked up. But I heard him tell Timothy, the word of God cannot be bound. Amen. How many know God's word can't be bound? So you can lock up my body, but you can't lock up my spirit. Verse 4 reads, rejoice in the Lord always, and again I say rejoice. Let your moderation be known unto all men. The Lord is at hand. Be careful. Don't worry. Amen. Worry will wear you out. Anxiety. Don't do that. Amen. Be careful for nothing but in
everything.
In what?
Everything.
By prayer and supplication with thanksgiving. Let your requests be made known unto God. And the peace of God, which passes
all.
Somebody say, how are the assignments going through it? Because of the peace of God.
Yes.
That passes all understanding shall keep your heart and mind through Christ Jesus. Finally, my brethren, whatsoever things are
true,
don't live a lie, but you got to be what?
True.
Whatsoever things are
honest.
Don't be dishonest, but be truthful. Whatsoever things are
just.
Whatsoever things are
pure.
Whatsoever things are
lovely.
Whatsoever things are love.
Good
report. If there be any virtue, and if there be any praise, think on these things. Those things which you have both
learned.
Listen, this is what Paul said. Now listen, and this is important for us in church today. Those things which you have both
learned.
If you learned it, amen.
Yeah.
But even in prison, Paul still has a praise for the Lord. Even in prison, he said, rejoice in the Lord. He said, and if you didn't get it the first time, and again I say,
rejoice.
You might be going through difficulties. You might be going through challenges. You might have a hard time, but it's time for the church to rejoice. It's time to tell the Lord, thank you. Amen. As you were singing, Overcomer, Paul said, we are more than. We're more than. He said, not that I speak in respect of one, for I have learned in whatsoever sin I am, therewith to be content. Amen. So our message today, well, actually, let me go to 1 Timothy, the 6th chapter, we'll read verses 5 to 8. Then I'll give us our message. Amen. Contentment. Listen, contentment is not you got everything you want. Our contentment should never be based on the conditions and things around us. Our contentment should be based on knowing that God is in charge. That's our contentment. Our contentment is not, well, I don't have this and I don't have that. Our contentment should be based on I know who the Lord is. And I know what God can do in my life, so I am content. Our contentment should be based on I know that it's the Lord that worketh in me. Whatever you're going through, listen, God is working in you. And Paul says in a little earlier in Philippians, the 7th chapter, he's working in you both to will and to do of his own good pleasure. So whatever you may experience, God is working in you. And because God is working in you, I can just be content. How many know that Jesus, our God, didn't die? We know that Jesus is God. We know that he didn't die for us to be lost. But he died for us to overcome. So in our overcoming, I know that God did everything. He gave his best for me. How many know God gave his best for you? So since God gave his best for you, you can be assured of one thing. God does not purpose to let you fall. We don't fall with God. We fall without God. You don't fall with God. You fall without God. So contentment is saying, Lord, I don't like my life situation. I don't like what I'm going through. I don't like how I'm feeling. I don't like how I'm thinking. But I trust you. And because I trust you, I surrender full control of my life. I listen, Lord, whatever you want to do, you do it. Because I trust you. And because I trust you, I know God won't let me down. Can the church say hallelujah? So contentment deals with trusting God. Amen. Well, how much do you trust God? Remember when we went all been taught? I trust God enough that I don't have to check to make sure God is going to do what God's going to do because God is God. Amen. So I don't have to check for God because I trust him. And because I'm content and I trust God, I'm satisfied. I'm satisfied. Lord, whatever I'm here to deal with, I'm satisfied. Lord, whatever hardships I'm going through, I am satisfied. So Paul writes to Timothy in the 6th chapter, 1 Timothy 6th chapter, he says, perverse, verse 5 says, perverse disputing of men of corrupt mind. Lord, just stay in the truth. Because when your mind is corrupt, you are destitute of the truth. Supposing that gain is godliness, he said, from such, I know everybody's been this stuff. I know everybody's gaining and claiming. But gain is not godliness. Can we say hallelujah? So don't try to get everything and think that because I got it, do you know what I live? Do you know what I drive? Do you know all the titles behind my name? I am successful. He says, supposing that your gain is godliness. Gain is not godliness. Amen. He says, from such you got to do what? You got to withdraw yourself. myself from that. But godliness from the kingdom is. Lord, I'm listening. Whatever I'm going through right now, it could be worse, so I'm still thankful. Amen. Lord, when I look back on where you brought me from, I don't like a whole lot, but I'm still thankful. Because godliness with contentment is great gain. For we brought nothing, don't focus on your stuff. The only thing that counts today is it well with my soul. Amen. For we brought nothing into this world and it is certain. We can carry nothing out. Having food and raiment, let us therewith be content. So our message today is, are you content?
Yes.
Content means I trust God. Content means I give everything I have to God. I say, Lord, you engineer my life. I say, Lord, you order my steps. Because I'm content, I walk in the steps that the Lord has set for me. And because I'm content, I don't focus on everything else around me, but my eyes are fixed on Jesus. Because I am content. Can we say hallelujah?
Hallelujah.
So because I am content, and if you are content, the next portion of the question is this. If you are content, are you God? So a whole lot of people say, like, I love the Lord, I'm content. But the question in your contentment is, are you godly? That's important. Because in order for you to have true contentment, you must be godly. And to be godly says, God, you're in charge. I don't question how you lead my life. I do question how I lead my life. Now, I just want to go over a few things about godliness. What does it mean to be God? What does it mean to be God? I know everybody got it. I said a prayer. I went down on my knees. I said a prayer. I shouted out at the church. It's more, look at somebody say, it's more than that. It's more than that to be God. So what does it mean to be God? I wrote down a few things. Now, Paul talks about having a form of God. That's in 2 Timothy 3, verse 5. He talks about having a form of godliness. So you can be godly or you can have a form. In other words, when you look at the silhouette, the shape, it looks godly. But it's nothing more than an exterior thing. It's nothing that penetrates the heart. It's nothing that gets down into the spirit. So you have a form of godliness, but are you denying the true power thereof? So if someone has a form of godliness, yes, you go to church every service. Yes, you pray. Yes, you sing. Yes, you testify. But it's more than just the outward. True godliness is something that takes place on the inside. True godliness is something that takes place on the inside. You know what we first got saying? We said, those old things I used to do, we're talking about true godliness. All those places I used to go,
I don't go there
anymore. shown in how I treat others. We're talking about being God. Real godliness is shown in how I treat others. So I'm trying to be content by how I'm treating others. With that in mind, let's go to Galatians, the fifth chapter, and we're going to read the 22nd and then through the 26th verse. What kind of godliness are we talking about? Real godliness. Real godliness changes you from the inside out. You know something about real godliness? When people see you and you're really changed, people can see the difference. Amen. And we go over something that Jesus said. I'm not going to keep you a whole lot longer, but if you're going to be content, you got to be God. And it ain't no use in showboat and faking it and all the other stuff. You got to be real with God. Can we say hallelujah?
Hallelujah.
So real godliness brings about a change. And with real godliness, there is a fruit that comes with true godliness. When you got the Holy Ghost, God gave you a fruit in your soul. And Paul tells us in Galatians, but the fruit of the Spirit in verse 22 is this is your report card. You determine if you're God. Amen. Godliness has a right kind of fruit. And the fruit of the Spirit is love, it is
joy,
peace,
long-suffering,
gentleness,
goodness,
faith, meekness, temperance.
Against such.
Real godliness, when you show the character of God, they say against us there is
no law.
And they that are Christ have crucified the flesh and the affections and lusts. If we live in the Spirit, let us also
walk.
We're talking about being God. So if you live in the Spirit, you have to also walk in the
Spirit.
So, well, how come I'm not content? How are you walking? Have you really crucified the lust of your flesh, or is your flesh dominating you? Does your flesh control you and tell you what to do, or does your flesh surrender willingly to God? So now the flesh has some characteristics that lets you know that you're not God. Can we say hallelujah? The flesh can act in some ways that you know you're not God. Listen, whenever the flesh is speaking, you won't be content. Because when the flesh is speaking, you're telling the flesh, I'm in control. But when you're God, you're telling God, he's in control. Do you understand? So you're trying to get in a place of God where you got the peace. You can't have peace without the Prince of Peace. You can't have peace if you don't trust God. To trust God means to say, God, I don't understand everything, but I trust you. And because I trust you, I'm going to align my life with your word. And I'm going to align my life with your will. So, Lord, even though you tell me to do something I don't understand, I'll do it because I trust you.
Yes.
Can we say hallelujah?
Hallelujah.
So we're talking about real trust. Before we go to trust, can I just go to one other place for one minute? Last week we went over Psalm 63. Alright, Psalm 63 was a time in David's life which was a low point. Amen. But I don't want to go over the whole thing. I just want to focus on two verses of scriptures. And Psalm 3 verses, that being verse 3 through 5 of Psalm 63. Now we talk about godliness. To have godliness means you have to trust God. To have godliness and contentment means you say, God, not my will. But Psalm 63:3 reads, because thy loving kindness is better than life, my lips shall complain to thee. My lips shall murmur to thee. My lips shall. We're talking about trusting God and confidence with contentment. Thus will I bless thee while I live. I will lift up my hands in thy name. My soul shall be. My soul shall be
satisfied.
Well, how am I satisfied? Because I trust you. Because I trust you, I'm satisfied. As a marrow and fatness, and my mouth shall praise thee with joyful lips. So a part of having contentment is what? Trusting God.
Now, if you don't trust God, trust me, I don't care how much you try to fake it, you can't trust me. You aren't going to have contentment. Because to have contentment means I trust God. To trust God means if nobody else sees me, I want to do what's right for God. That is true trust. Trust, nobody can make me do the wrong thing because I trust God. And because I trust God, I align my life with God's will. Now let's go to Psalm 37, because we all like to quote this. Psalm 37, verses 3 through 5 as well. You know what it says? Trust in the Lord with all your heart, and He will give you the desires of your heart. But true contentment is full trust. Full trust. So verse 3 of Psalm 37 says, trust in the Lord and do good. Do what you want to do.
Good.
Trust in the Lord and do what you feel like doing.
Good.
Trust in the Lord and do
good.
Somebody said, if I were you, I wouldn't let them get by with that. Bible says, trust in the Lord and do
good.
So shall I dwell in the land, and verily thou shalt be fed. Delight thyself. Delight thyself also in the Lord, and He shall give thee the desires of thine heart. Commit thy will to the Lord. Gotta trust Him. So we can't have contentment without trust. Trust is not a collective thing. Trust is an individual thing. Trust is how you live your life. Trust is your relationship with God. How can you trust God if you don't have a relationship with Him? It doesn't work. Can we say hallelujah?
Hallelujah.
All right. Let's go to Isaiah, the 26th chapter. We're just dealing with trust right now. Lord, you know, I've trusted people. People have let me down. But how many know if you trust God, He has never let you down? God will never fail you. And because God won't let you down and God won't fail you, I am content.
Yes.
Content means I'm satisfied. Well, you be satisfied, Minister Simon and Sister Simon, we all go through all that you're going through. Because God is in control.
Amen.
So I don't question God. I trust Him.
Amen.
Well, Isaiah 26, verse 2 reads, open ye the gates, that the righteous nation which keepeth
true.
So I'm trying to get some contentment with God, but I don't live in the truth. If you don't live in the truth, you can't be content. If you don't live in the truth, you won't be satisfied. And then we're going to go over what Jesus says a little later. You can't fake it and be satisfied. If you're going to be satisfied, you're going to be true with God. It says, thou wilt keep him in
perfect peace.
Actually, that really means peace, peace. That perfect peace means it's a double meaning. God will keep you in peace, peace. Remember we read earlier, when you're in God like you ought to be, God will give you peace that's beyond understanding. So He said, thou will keep him in perfect peace, whose? Ouch. Right there. I'm trying to get peace. I'm trying to be content, but my mind is everywhere. I think about God when things are bad. But then when things are good, I don't think about God. Amen. So your mind has to be stayed on Him and He trusts. Right? So your mind can't be all over the spectrum and think you're going to be content with God. It doesn't work. You got to bring your mind into subjection. Amen. Casting down imagination. And every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God, your mind works contrary to God. Your mind does not want to surrender to God. Your mind wants to do what it wants to do, but you got to cast down imagination. You got to cast down every thought that exalts itself against the knowledge of God. Can we say hallelujah?
Hallelujah.
So thou wilt keep him in perfect peace, whose
mind
is. Now you're trying to be content today. Where has your mind been most of the time? Amen. Well, you're focused on the career, and there's nothing wrong with the career. You're focused on this, you're focused on that. You can focus on anything, but anything you put before God is an
idol.
Yes, it's an idol. Anything you put before first in your life. Jesus said, you ought to love me with
all.
Let's just stop at the heart for a minute. Let's just stop right there. He said, if you love me, then love me with
all.
Only you can answer what's in your heart. Stop blaming people on what you do. Guess who makes, only one that makes a decision on what you're going to do is you. There are influences, but who makes the final decision?
You
do. So you have to stop blaming people on why you do what you do. And just do what's right with your God. Before we go any further, let's go to Proverbs. Actually, let me finish this fourth verse in Isaiah 26. Because today, I want to find a place in God where I can be content. I want to find a place in God where I got peace of mind. Even when the world around me is falling apart, I got peace of mind. I heard Jesus say, I did not come to take you out of the world, but I came to keep you from an evil that's in the world. So he said, all this stuff is happening around you, just keep focusing on Jesus. Don't focus on anything else, because he will keep you in perfect peace if you keep your mind. The reason many in church don't have peace is because they're allowing their mind to run everywhere and anything. But the fourth verse is, trust in the Lord
forever.
It didn't just say trust in when you feel like it.
Forever.
Is it trust in when things are good? Trust in him how?
Forever.
If you don't know the verse, it is on the screen behind me. Right. Y'all help me. Trust in the Lord
forever.
Forever. For the Lord Jehovah is. The reason you're failing is because your trust is not in the Lord. Because when you trust the Lord, he gives you everlasting
strength.
Amen. Did not Jesus tell Paul, my strength is made perfect in your weakness? Paul said, therefore I will glory in my infirmities. For when I am
weak,
Lord, when I can't help myself, Lord, when I can't deliver myself, when I'm weak, then I'm
strong.
That's the
power.
How many want the power of Christ? Lord, let your power rest on me. Lord, let your power move on me. Let the power of Christ be on me. Reference. Some say, well, Lord, I'm satisfied. Where is your rest? Where is your fear? Listen. We're going to hold the fish. Don't look at me. Let me show you. You can't tell a lie and get God's name. Amen. I don't care what people give you. You can get it. Guess what? If you tell a lie to get it, God will certainly take it away. So you can't live a lie and think God bless me. God don't bless a lie. And if you just want to know a little about the lie, go to Revelation, where it talks about all lies. Shall have their part in the lake with burning with fire and brimstone, and they shall be cast into the second death. It's a second death. Yeah, this first death is the real death. Your real death is when you're at the judgment seat. That's the second death. How many of you want to be a part of that second death? Lord, I want to. All right, let me finish here. So let's go. So he says that you shall be satisfied, and when you're rich with God, 1,000 will fall on your right, 10,000 on your left hand, but it will not come. Only with your eyes shall you see. Why? Because my reverence is to God. So I need an application. I want a job. I want a job. I gotta pretty up my resume. I talk about none of y'all. Y'all ain't looking for a job. I gotta pretty up my resume. So I'm gonna put some stuff in my resume that I haven't done. That is my reverence for God. That's what you give me in. So God said, wait, you said, well, I want to.
Yeah, I should have messed with resume. A lot of y'all look for jobs. Don't use something.
I'm just saying, you cannot live a lie and think God's going to bless you. So you just go all those lies and come to church, oh, God just bless me.
God will bless you. Because God don't bless a lie. Amen.
God only blesses the truth. So you look like you have a form of,
but God said he denied.
You know what I like about God? He said, listen, I'm not telling you what I suggest you do. He said, if you live with people that aren't living the truth from such, you got to come out of that. So you say, well, that's my best friend. There's not a friend. I said, it's not a friend like
them.
No, my Lord. All right, let me go to Matthew 7 chapter, because I know all y'all probably got dinner reservation on the clock. And I don't want to mess y'all food up. But I don't want you to get indigestion. Eat the food. I want you to eat the food and enjoy it. You know, if you try to eat the food, chew on your tongue, chew on your lip, because your conscience is killing you. Because you know you're not being truthful. Amen. Jesus said you should know the truth. And the truth will make you free. So today if you're bound, you don't know the truth. Well, Matthew the 7th chapter, starting the 15th verse, I'll go through this quickly. They have a form of
confidence.
But they're denying. I went to that church, you know what they do? A sing and shouting all over the place. They have a well, Jesus said, beware of
false prophets,
which come to you in. But the fruit ain't in there. The love is not there. The joy, the peace, the gentleness, the long suffering is not there. So they have a form of confidence, but they're not living the life. They're denying the power thereof. Ye shall know them by their fruits. Do men gather grapes of thorn or figs or thistles? Even so, every saved, there should not be anything evil coming out of you.
Amen.
Because a good tree cannot bring forth
evil fruit,
and an evil tree
cannot bring forth good fruit.
I don't care what it looks like on the outside. You can't allow that to influence you. Wherefore, by their fruits, you shall
know them.
Not everyone that saith unto me,
Lord, Lord,
they have a form, they have the speech, they have all of the mechanics, but it's not in their spirit, it's not in their heart. You know?
Amen.
Not everyone that saith unto me, Lord, Lord, shall enter into the kingdom of.
Amen.
What? You mean I've been in church all this time? What kind of fruit do you have in your spirit? It was founded on a rock. So the nation
for what they believe they should and should not be. The only thing that counts is what does God think about you today.